The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
IGN Playlist is a new home to your game library. Rate games, share lists, and log your game time powered by How Long to Beat. Sign up for early access today at playlist.ign.com.
Beyond and hello everyone, my name is Jonathan Dornbush and this is Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show where we cover all the latest and greatest in the world of PlayStation and maybe provide a couple laughs along the way, but that's not a guarantee because sometimes we're very serious. Very, very serious. But maybe not this week, we'll find out what happens because I'm joined this week by Jada Griffin.
Hello!
Hello!
Happy to be back!
Yeah, happy to have you back. Thank you for joining us after your week off last week for your birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Belated, of course, on the show, but good. And we're also joined this week by Mark Medina.
Mark, serious Medina.
Yes. Okay,
no jokes today.
Yeah.
This is a serious episode.
Mark, you've never tried to make a joke in your life, I heard.
I've never joked in my life. I've never smiled. I'm smiling right now. Yeah. I've already ruined it.
We all took. Laugh.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you never laugh, but you laughed immediately. So I couldn't even.
Exactly. I can't stick to anything. We all took the week off last week. It was Thanksgiving in America.
Oh, yeah. The week before that. So, yeah, I'm thinking 2 weeks back. I don't know what time is anymore.
I feel like I haven't worked in forever. I've been on vacation since last Tuesday, which like isn't the longest amount of time, but still it feels weird. But I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, we're
this
back
is the first thing I'm doing as I'm back. This is my first order of business, so it's perfect.
Well, it's going to be quite an episode to have you back first for. And of course, yeah, we'll be we're back this week. There will be some time off toward the end of the year that we'll let you know in the next week or two to confirm. But obviously, with the Christmas and New Year's holidays coming up, we will be a little quiet around the end of this year. But we've got a few more episodes before we wrap up this year. And before we get into that, what's to come, there might be some announcements at the Game Awards and whatnot that we'll dive into after that show happens. But for now, our last episode, we took a look forward to the future of what might be with PlayStation Studios and the potential 25 games on the horizon. But so what better way to complement that than after looking to the future to look to the past, because that's how time works. And so this week we're going to be jumping into trying to decide what the best PlayStation 5 games are so far. I'm sure we will all agree very easily, very quickly. There will be no contention whatsoever. It will be just fine. No, we thought, as sort of a continued look back at the first year of the PS5 and also, a lot of cross-gen games in there, we want to take a look back and celebrate all that stuff and sort of figure out what our combined sort of favorite games are at the PS5 so far. I think it's worth noting, of course, like we do a feature like this on IGN. This is not a duplication of that. There will be that own sort of list probably early next year that we'll produce and everything, because that will be my job to do. But we're gonna all hash it out here and see what tops our combined Podcast Beyond best PS5 games list so far.
Yeah, this isn't IGN's list.
No,
this is the Beyond Lackey Crew's list.
Yeah, this is the Podcast Beyond Yeehaw Roundup of Games.
That's right. PS5 edition.
Can I at least be the head lackey?
That's what I said. I'm sorry. Anyway, before we jump in, I think it's important that I establish a few ground rules, because I had told both of you some ground rules before we started recording, and I've decided those rules are silly.
I also don't plan on following any rules, so please waste your breath by telling me the rules.
Perfect. Well, all I was going to say was, originally we had talked, I was struggling a lot to do with things like definitive editions or, you know, games that had PS5 versions come out afterward, things of that nature.
Yeah, we established yesterday that, like, we don't know what a PlayStation 5 game is.
I don't think anyone does right now.
We just don't, right, because it's like... There's so many versions, right? There's something like Returnal that is a PS5 game. There's something like Assassin's Creed Odyssey that is a PS4 game that got a PS5 patch, but it's not a PS5 game. It does not say PS5 on the dashboard.
But then there's also Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which got a PS4 and PS5 version. So yeah, I think...
Well, and something like Death Stranding that got a definitive PS5
version. You know? Yeah. So I think the ground rule that I do want to allow those director's cuts the chance to be here.
God damn it, Dornbush.
I knew this would cause havoc for Mark. So what I am going to say is that the director's cuts are allowed. I'm going to say it needs to have a dedicated PS5 version of the game. So if it's just...
It has to say PS5 on the dashboard.
Yes, essentially. If you looked on the dashboard of your PS5, it said PS5 there. Obviously, this will include a lot of games that are available on PS4. There are PS4 versions of those games, but we're not talking about games that are PS4 versions running better. So something like Ratchet and Clank from 2016 got a PS5 patch as well. That
was Days Gone, Division 2.
The original, like the base version of Ghost of Tsushima, wouldn't necessarily count, but director's cut would. So, with that in mind, I think that's probably the best way to approach. Is it needs a dedicated PS5 version? I do think, and let me know what you both think. I think we should though emphasize and sort of celebrate the games that do take the best advantage of the PS5. So, like, you know, a phenomenal game that might have a PS5 version that came out a year or two ago. I want to make sure that we're celebrating the stuff that did have native PS5 versions that are doing a lot with the system, that are kind of, you know, being PS5 games for people to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. I would say 99% of my personal list are like PS5 games.
Cool. So I think that's good to keep in mind. I think Criteria is basically like, it's a really, really great game. It's a good showcase of a game on a PS5 at the moment. And I think, you know, barring that, the only other sort of rule I was thinking of was that we probably need a 2/3 majority for the game to go on the list. Does that work for everyone?
Are we ranking them or are we just putting them on the list?
We're going to try. We're going to see how we do.
Oh, boy.
We're going to try. We're going to get a 2/3 vote. My crazy rules were going to be we each get one ultimate veto power of elimination where we can just veto and mess up the list like crazy by just saying, I choose this one game to not be on the list.
I'll save that for Bug Snacks. All right, let's do it.
So we could potentially get to the very end of the list.
And then the only other thing I can think of.
Jada, I think you're muted.
Am I? That would be really weird.
Did I see Jada talking?
How about now? There, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, she wasn't muted. Her microphone was just nowhere near.
For some reason, my headset settings must be off. But oh well, this headset works well. You know, it's the beauty of having multiple headsets in the household. So you're saying I could get to the very end of the list and then we could just all just veto things and ruin the whole list.
Exactly. That's why this list is not official in any capacity, because one, I don't need like pair mad at me that we like.
Wait, how many vetoes do we get?
We each get one. We only get one veto each. Okay. The only other thing I was thinking of was that like Red behind the scenes, he's going to be helping us with the list, should have some sort of power. Like there should be some sort of like Red rule that we can do. But I don't know what that rule should be.
I mean, let him have a veto as well. Why not?
But I feel like it should be even more than that. You know, like it should be.
Oh, my gosh.
It should be like the kind of the.
Red could just eject you from the show.
Exactly. Like some weird Deus Ex Machina, basically, of like a reality competition show. And he just comes in and like gives us a power boost or something. I think Red should get two vetoes.
OK,
let's do that for now. Red gets two vetoes. And if he doesn't use those vetoes by the end, he gets to move a game on the list to wherever he wants.
Oh my gosh.
After we have all decided.
You're giving Red too much power.
That's what I'm here to do, to cause chaos.
This is
there we go. Bloodborne number one on the list. It's
Everyone's favorite PlayStation 5 game.
We will, for those watching the video version, have the list up as we continue to put this together. But for those listening, we will try to make sure and recap and tell you what's going on with the list as we go. We don't want you to be left out, of course. So don't worry if you're only listening to the audio. We will not leave you out of this because you're all such a wonderful audience. And I would never do
that. Thank you for deleting that. He had it inner caps and
I didn't want to say anything. Anyway,
there we go. All caps is fine. Exclamation marks. That's okay.
All caps, one cap or no caps. Anyway, with that all said and out of the way, I think it's time to begin throwing games up on the list. I want to at least get a list of 15. Let's go for 15.
All right.
And then see where we can go from there. So roughly five each, not roughly exactly five each, but
We're essentially nominating a game.
Yes, we're going to nominate games.
Cool.
So let's, I think, just go in a circle and we'll nominate. If anyone has any complaints about that game, we'll do that. And then otherwise we will get all the games on the list and then start to order if we have time.
All right.
All right. So, Jada, let's start with you.
I'm gonna have to go with my big one for the year, Ratchet and Clank. I'm gonna go with Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. I'm gonna take the easy
veto. No.
Oh no. So Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. I think happy to agree on that one. Jada, I know you had responded to my tweet. Kit is so good in that game, which is not something we got to talk about at launch. But
her story of the pain she had caused in trying to accept herself for who she is while also trying to hide that the pain she had caused to somebody dealing with the trauma in real time is just such good storytelling. It was amazing.
It's really great. And obviously we're keeping it vague. No spoilers for anyone, but you've probably heard a lot about Rivet and justifiably so. Rivet is fantastic, but I do think Rift Apart is so good because of Rivet and Kit kind of together there.
The hardest thing I've ever had to do, with you, Dornbush, you reviewed the game and I cut the review, was we basically were not allowed to show Kit at all. And
it was painful.
It's so tough because I had all this great footage of her and we just were not allowed to show her.
I couldn't even write about her really. And Kit is so good. So rest assured, if you're a Ratchet and Clank fan, you haven't gotten to get a PS5 yet and maybe you're getting one this holiday. Without a doubt, this one should definitely be on our list. Happily agree to have it there. Mark, let's move on. What is your first game to be nominated?
Yeah, so I'll just start with my biggest one, which would be Astro's Playroom, it still is my favorite PlayStation 5 game. Like, that game showed everything that the DualSense could do. It is weaponized nostalgia. Like, even if you didn't like the gameplay, that game has so much nostalgia packed into it. And then, as I've said on the show plenty of times, that was the game that when me and all my friends got our PlayStation 5s, we all just screen shared together. And to me, that game is a multiplayer game because I pretty much only played it while on a microphone and seeing other people's screens.
Yeah.
And then even the lasting impression after that, where then we got super into the speedrunning stuff. And I was number 8 in the world on a couple of, I was in the top 10 on a couple of those. There were some insane tricks that you could do that you would get it once every 50 times you did the thing. And if you got it, you were in the top 20. And so I was top 8 and it's my most proudest achievement. I don't know where I would be on any of them now, but Astro's is still the game that I consistently think about when I think about PlayStation 5. Like, that game is so good.
Yeah, no arguments here. Jada,
I agree. I did a lot of those time trials. I think I cracked top 10 on one or two of them. But those were a lot of fun to just do. It kind of added some extra life to it. And I think it was the perfect fit for that game.
Yeah, yep. That was such a great launch surprise. And absolutely deserves a spot on this list. 100% agree with that one. I will nominate my first game, and it will be probably one that all of us, I hope, are for. Returnal. just to keep it going with PS5 exclusives. Yep. As I mentioned a week or two ago, I came back to this one once the 2.0 update came out, which really bolsters, you know, the ability to save a run and not have to worry about it at all of that. But like, still just the gameplay is so solid and the foundation of it is so great what Housemarque built. And I also think like getting to dive deeper into that game and really see the full extent of it, it's so impressive, sort of the level variety, but also the familiarity you still get. Like, it is a roguelike, but you will probably see most of these rooms so often that you get a sense of where you're going, that they're almost, mm-hmm. they are bespoke rooms put in a random way, sort of similar to Hades and whatnot. So yeah, I really love the way that game plays out. I'm currently still going for that final ending. Still got to get it, but
was this the part that you told me you wanted me to tell you what the ending was?
Was it right now? Yeah, right now so, I want you to spoil the ending to Return.
Everyone just turned the episode off. I'm like, no.
Not going to do it.
So Celine finds her daughter.
Wait.
They both die.
That sounds terrible. That's no.
And her daughter is Rivet.
Yep. Exactly.
It's a tie-in. Anyway, no, I don't know the ending. We're not spoiling the ending. Don't worry.
Totally not spoiling
but yeah,
it.
Returnal. Putting it on the list. No concerns. We can move on to the next one. Jada, what have you got for us?
Ooh, I'm going to go with a recent hit. I'm going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Guardians on there.
Nice. Interesting.
I love
the game I played an hour of.
Are you vetoing, sir? Is that
no, absolutely not. No, I loved it, but it came in the mix of just like Far Cry and Halo and stuff like that. And that one just fell by the wayside. I'll play it eventually. Christmas break's coming up. That's one of those games where I'm like, I need to just like, I'll finish it. But I can't speak much to it.
Honestly, like, it came out at a perfect time for me. I've been playing so many open world stuff like Far Cry and other thing. And I had just finished like Ghost of Tsushima. And I was like, I just need a quick kind of story driven linear experience, just kind of like to dive into and just experience. And it came at that perfect time, and the writing was so well, the soundtrack was amazing. I've probably said this on Beyond before, but I loved every single thing about it. The voice acting talent did an amazing job with, you know, bringing those characters to life that for many people already have those MCU voices and characteristics in their head. And the voice actors they brought in did a phenomenal job of, you know, bringing it to life in another in a different way. So
yeah,
I loved Guardians.
Guardians is great, and I love it as well. And yeah, I still need to finish it, but I am totally okay with it definitely being on this list. I do think it is a really mm-hmm. great surprise and such a fun one for this first year. So moving on from there, Mark, what would you like to nominate to add to the list?
I'm gonna go third party as well now. Resident Evil Village is on my list. Nice. I really like Resident Evil 7. But Resident Evil Village just like completely blew it out of the water for me. I love this game. When I beat it, the first thing I wanted to do was restart it and play it again, and I did. And I ended up beating the game I want to say like 5 or 6 times, only because it is a really, really fun game to speedrun. And so I did an IGN stream back when I was streaming on IGN where we started and finished the game in one stream just because, I know what to do when you play that game. And it became this like internal thing where people were posting their times. I want to say the fastest I ever did it was probably just a smidge over 2 hours. But but the game itself it's gorgeous. I love the characters. I really, really hope DLC comes out that shows more Lady Dimitri's stuff. Like, I would love her like actual origin story. We get some like books and stuff like that, but I really like the game. And
Village is great. It's one I like forget came out this year, just because this year mm-hmm. has been so strange and long and weird. But
it came out like a week after Returnal. So a lot of people were still playing Returnal.
I'm totally with you. I love Village. I think it's like the promise of what 7 could be more fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And I just love that setting and everything. Jada, any?
I have no say on this one. I haven't played Village yet.
Fair enough.
I just downloaded 7 to play through 7, so I'm going to be playing through 7 and 8 over the holiday break. I mean, what better way to spend the rest of the holidays than
the perfect
zombies?
Exactly, the holiday cheer of Resident Evil. It's worth doing 7 into 8 for sure, but yeah, looking forward to hearing what you think.
Yeah, 7 is definitely like a reboot, kind of, you know, and then 8 is a sequel to 7, or Village. So,
yeah. It's 8. It's fine.
It's 8.
I am then going to add to the list. God, there's a lot I want to add, but I will start off by going with Demon Souls. It was the first Soulsborne I ever played. It's the first, I think, like PS5 showcase for like graphics and sort of the fidelity of things. It's also very clearly, you know, like the game that sealed the deal when it comes to Bluepoint and that PlayStation relationship. Obviously, it's built on the back of what FromSoft created on the PS3. But like one, I do think, you know, especially if you're looking, if you're getting a PS5 this holiday season, it is a really, really great one to pick up to show the visual fidelity, because that world is beautiful, what they did with it. And yes, it is a Soulsborne. So like when I approach these lists, whenever we work on them for IGN, I do keep in mind that like at the end of the day, those are not the most approachable. And I know that for everyone. So I'm not saying, you know, it should be number one or number two here. But I do think what they did with it, how they modernized it, but how they sort of kept the core of what FromSoft had created in there, I think is really, really well balanced. And it then just becomes this great showcase for like quick loading around worlds for a PS5 game, beautiful fidelity for a PS5 game. And it's just still so fun to play. I jump back in with some friends to try to work on the platinum for me. And it really still is a great one. It's definitely one of the slower Soulsborns that you can play, but I still think it's a great one.
We want you to join Rogue Jam and help design the next hit video game from Rogue Games, creators of Super Impossible Road, Arcanium, and Sprawl. Now IGN and Rogue are teaming up to offer $500,000 and an exclusive publishing deal to the best finished and in-progress games we can get our power gloves on. Submit your game between November 29th and December 31st, 2021 for a chance at $800,000 in prizes. Your game must be playable, because that's what makes it a game. Finalists will be judged as part of Rogue Jam, an all-new series produced in partnership with IGN. So look for that in 2022 or head to roguejam.com to start the submission process now and get your game on the show. Get designing.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn, because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ask your doctor about Air Supra, albuterol budesonide. Eligible patients can pay as little as $0 per inhaler, subject to eligibility rules and maximum savings limits. Restrictions may apply. Visit airsuprasavings.com to learn more.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
I want to mention that, like, while we were playing, I mentioned about Astro's Playroom. It was like me and three of our friends. And while three of us were playing Astro's Playroom, our fourth friend, her name's Cosma, was always playing Demon's Souls. She didn't play She didn't play Astro's until much, much later. That's my only exposure to Demon's Souls, was watching her little screen play it. And she loved it. But I haven't played it because I played like the first 20 minutes. So I was like, this is going to be too hard for me. So I didn't play it again. But
I haven't played the remaster yet. I played through the original on PS3 back, like, on launch when that first came out. So I'm interested to see how it evolved when I eventually get around to playing through it. Gotcha. My issue is that I've been playing a couple other Souls. Like, I have to space out my Souls games because you have to just kind of get into that flow. And if you stay in that flow for too long, I feel like you just go crazy. That's just me personally. And
every other game just becomes too easy.
yes, it becomes too easy. But no, also I've been saved. It also, like, it requires a lot of commitment. Like, when I'm playing a Souls game, I don't feel like I can swap off to other games. Mm-hmm. And there's other stuff coming out. And I also know Elden Ring is around the corner. So I've purposefully not been playing any Souls games until this last weekend. I broke it. and I started playing Neo with my partner Yusuf. We started playing Neo the original because we wanted something co-op, and I was like, you know what, I kind of feel like playing a samurai Souls type game, and I'm actually really enjoying it. I don't know if I'm putting it on the list today, but I'm excited to see where Demon's Souls is once I've been, like, I think it's in my cart because it was on sale for like $40 on the PSN store. And I was like, I might just, you know, pull the trigger and go ahead and do it. But
yeah,
haven't decided yet.
It's a good one. If either of you, you know, or if both of you want to say pass for now because you haven't played it, I'm okay to, you know.
No, that's one of those games that I'm like, that belongs on the list for sure.
I agree.
I'll take that then. Moving on there, just to keep it going. Jada, what would you like to nominate next for the list?
Let's see. I'm going to... You know, it's kind of a shame we haven't talked about it yet. I have some other ones on my list I want to bring up, but I'm gonna go ahead and go Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Nice. Yeah, that, I was debating between that and Demon's Souls.
My next one was I was going to say, like, there's one we're all dancing around that I'm sure is on all of our lists. It was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved Miles Morales so much. I think I enjoyed it more than Spider-Man, like the original for PS4. Yes, it was a shorter experience, and yes, it was kind of different, but at the same time, it took everything that Spider-Man had done and expanded on it in important ways. You know, it dived deeper into the individual characters you interacted with. There was more focus on your, you know, less powers, but more focus on using each of them more efficiently and effectively in battle. I felt like, you know, Spider-Man PS4 was great because you had so many options, and you're like, I was switching between powers and suits and upgrades constantly. Whereas Miles Morales was like, okay, I have less tools to choose from, but I'm an expert with each of these tools now. Like, I don't know if you guys remember that, that section where you are like trapped in a room and you have to escape with your with Prowler. The whole fight sequence. Totally. I stayed in that sequence because I had mastered the fight so well that I broke the combo counter to where it maxes out at 999, and I killed every enemy so they're no longer respawned, and I had to leave. Like, I completely emptied their base. So
they're like, we lost, guys. Spider-Man killed us all.
Okay, I didn't kill them, but I knocked them unconscious. So there's a bunch of bodies laying around.
They all got the little stars over their heads, guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's always funny, it's always funny. We get in these games, especially the superhero games. It's like, superheroes don't kill. And then you rocket kick somebody off of a building, a 100-story building in New York, and just like, yeah, they're okay. Like, they'll be fine.
It's sure. All right. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Well, if you look, you kick them off the building. If you look, the game, like, does this smart thing where it webs them towards the building.
Yep. But if
I don't know where that web comes from, but
yeah,
from Spider-Man, I guess.
But if you kick them really far, like over, like, say, the water, they just kind of fall in the water, and they're unconscious falling into the water. So you have to kind of assume that they probably drowned.
No, I have to assume they were saved by a shark that took them to the shore.
that lightly chomped down and held them in their mouth as it brought them to shore.
Some friendly dolphins showed up.
I mean, it's the Batman conundrum. It's like, I broke so many bones in that man's body. He is not alive anymore. Like, it doesn't matter what the game tells me. But
no killing.
I'm not going to break my one rule.
As I destroy this man's face.
totally agree. Miles absolutely deserves to be on this list. And it's a perfect Christmas game. So moving on from there to keep it going, because we got we're only halfway through nominating games. So let's keep moving. Mark, what have you got?
Man, Spider-Man is such a good Christmas game. I forgot about that. So I'm going to go old game that got a PS5 version.
Okay.
Control Ultimate Edition. So Control is a game that I did not like when it first came out. I thought the map was confusing and I thought the gameplay was fine. And then I gave it another go, and the map is still confusing, but I loved it a lot. I got the platinum trophy in it, and I think it's a really, really good version of the game. What's funny is I never played any of the DLCs, but it just runs so good on PS5 that inspired me to play it again. But I ended up loving it. I beat it and was compelled to keep playing, so I got the platinum, and that game is great. So if you have not checked out Control, the PS5 version, Series X version is very, very good.
Jada's got a mischievous smile on her face.
Oh,
are you gonna veto Control?
I am deciding if I want to veto Control. I loved Control.
How dare.
I played the mess out of Control on the PS4. I got the
And what's wrong with it?
PS4. Their handling of upgrading from the PS4 to the PS5 version and save file transfers was a disaster. It was the worst I've seen for any game coming to the PS5. The fact that I had to buy this special Ultimate Edition on the PS4 to transfer it to then get the PS5 version. And then it was so messy. Like, people complain about a bunch of other games and save file transfers, but this game made every other save transfer look easy.
I understand where you're coming from on that. I will say, just because I remember when we talked about it back then, and I'm not saying you're saying this in any way, but just as like a point of, because I know a lot of people were getting so mad when it happened, it very much feels like this was a move that happened on like the publisher side and less so the dev side. So
for sure.
Like,
and that's why I'm like,
exactly.
Instantly veto it. Cause like, if I like wasn't looking at the bigger picture, I would have just been like, veto, Control sucks. But it did. I loved Control.
Control is great. Yeah.
The DLCs were really good. Besides the fact that I played the Alan Wake DLC, and then after I finished it, my game crashed, or like it bugged out to where it locked me in the main like lobby area. And
it's Control. That's a feature, actually.
There was an enemy that had somehow gotten into the main room that's not supposed to happen.
So you have a friend.
So the house shifted, meaning I couldn't walk out of the room, and it locked me into combat status, so I couldn't fast travel out either.
Oh my gosh.
So I ended up having to reload my save file from the from my cloud from before going into the Alan Wake DLC, So I basically had to forfeit all the work I put into the Alan Wake DLC. I got to keep all the trophies from it, thankfully, so I didn't really care about my character missing like skill points and not being 100% maxed out where she would have been. But that was also another thing with like just the save files. You couldn't choose which save file to load and control. I just thought it was like really messy and that type of, and that's a design thing. That's, you know, not being able to choose like, hey, I want to load this save file. I spent hours uploading my files from the cloud,
trying to get the right
on my PC, trying to modify it, deleting the older file, the newer files, so it would load the older files, and it just wouldn't load files at that point. So like, I think
my experience is extremely pure, I guess, because for one, I wasn't trying to bring over any save files. And for two, the game, I didn't play it until it came to PlayStation Plus for free. So I didn't have any sense of like, you know, I have to pay for this upgrade buyer's or whatever. Yeah. And the thing is it feels weird to think about now, because like games have done that now where you've had to pay for it. Like technically Death Stranding, you had to pay for the upgrades.
Yeah.
Like a lot of those upgrades didn't come to the regular version, where I think with Ghost of Tsushima, I think Iki Island, you can play on PS4.
You can play, yes. I believe. Yeah. Iki Island on PS4. Yeah.
And I would say my experience was just like, hey, I got this free game that I don't care about transferring saves over, and it just works. So like, that's where it was for me.
I will say you don't need to use your veto immediately. You can decide at any point to veto. But yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, especially from the very frustrating, like, say the upgrade path that they did there was really frustrating and annoying and unfair to a lot of people who had supported the game. Obviously, you know, I think something that was probably outside of the hands of the devs. I will say though, shout out for the PS5 version. They did use the activity cards very well in a way that most games don't.
So they did,
in terms of using the PS5, I do think Control did it very well compared to what some other teams have not really done. But let's leave it there for now. I would vote for it. But yeah, again, if you have a veto, don't forget you can use it at any time. In the meantime, though, I will continue adding to the list because we got to get to at least 15. I am going to say, what do I want to add? Also, everyone still has their vetoes, so I'm afraid. I am going to say there are a lot of games I do want to add, but I am going to say, because it is the most recent one, there's a little bit of recency bias. I am going to say Death Store. I have been playing through that game. I just got the secret ending last night. I have to do like one other run to get my platinum trophy.
How long is it? Is it super long, or
you can beat it in 8-ish hours? That was like with a bit of exploring. You could probably mainline it in like 6. So I have it,
but I haven't touched it yet.
Yeah, I would say you could probably, like, if you don't end up caring about the exploration stuff, you could probably mainline in around 6. But my like 100% playthrough took about 11 or 12 hours.
That's not bad. I just got it for PS5, and I'm like, I'm waiting for that perfect time to just sit down and play through it.
So I am like so surprised this game, it like so bumped up on my game of the year list. I really loved it when I played a preview build of it earlier this year, but I've been playing through like crazy for the last week. And what I really love about this game is just, I think like every aspect of it is working in conjunction to make this really like surprisingly beautiful and also really fun whole and complete package, where it's like, I think a lot of people think, oh, it's, you're a cute bird and a Dark Souls game, but it's really more like a Zelda game with a little bit of Souls-esque combat and upgrade systems in terms of collecting the souls of your enemies and whatnot to get upgrades. It invests a lot in sort of like exploration of these 4 or 5 main hubs that you'll go to, but then unlocking abilities that when you go back, suddenly you have like a third eye opens and you understand all the things you missed in that area that you can now go and go collect things for. And it really encourages.
So like
that,
Metroidvania kind of.
Yes. Yeah. Metroidvania-ish, but like in almost a more like 2D Zelda type way, like a Link to the Past-esque way. it does all of that super well. The combat is really satisfying and feels really great. And I think is a very like fair set of, it's rather minimalistic, but I think it's a very fair set of skills that you get and can be used really well in conjunction. And then just the other aspect of it is, one, the art's gorgeous and the soundtrack is phenomenal. Like, it is a genuinely beautiful soundtrack. And as light as the story is, by the end of it, it actually has some really interesting and I think well told things to say about the nature of life and death and all that sort of stuff. And it's not like, you know, earth shattering revelations of things I've never thought about, but I think it's told in a really, really endearing and well done way that only sort of just like further cements how much I love this game. It's so good. I can't recommend it enough.
I really want to play that.
Nice.
Now.
But yeah, I'm going to say Death's Door if no one has any arguments.
No.
Jada, what's your next game to nominate?
I'm going to go with one that caused a little bit of controversy this year. I'm going to go Far Cry 6.
Hey!
Okay.
The controversy, I think, around it was just kind of like people being kind of fatigued by open world games, especially Ubisoft open world games, and like the kind of like political like commentary about, you know, regimes and
it's the usual Ubisoft, this game's not political, even though all of their games are extremely political.
And you know, but I loved every minute of Far Cry 6 so far. At least I'm probably like 20 hours in. I still have a lot to do in the game, but I feel like Far Cry 6 has really mastered the formula for what it means to be a Far Cry game. They have, you know, one of the best characters that they've created for you to play as, Danny. And you know, it's also the first time that you actually like, I wouldn't say the first time, but the best use of a main character that actually speaks is in cutscenes, and just everything about her or him, depending on, you know, the gender you choose, is great. There's phenomenal performances. Giancarlo Esposito as Anton Castillo is amazing. He's a great villain. I don't know if he's the best villain, but he's definitely up there. The weapons and stuff were great. I really loved the Suprema powers. It kind of felt like having like an ultimate ability that recharged as I mowed through forces of enemies. And I enjoyed it. The comedy was pretty solid as well. And the soundtrack was great.
I'm still pretty early in it, but I've really enjoyed it more than I think the past few Far Cry games. Like ever since 3, I've definitely been a little bit on the outs, and this is probably the one I've liked the most since then. I totally agree with you in terms of Giancarlo. Like I think still Voss is probably the best, and he was definitely like a bit of stunt casting, but he's a very good actor. And the strangeness of, you know, him not perhaps being from the regions they are depicting, he does perform the role very well. He is very good in it. He knows how to be a good villain. But
I love that game. I love it a lot. It's one of those ones where I'm the same. I kind of dropped off and I'm like, I need to get back to it because it's very, very good.
Fair enough. Sounds like no contention there. So Mark, after you finish your sip of coffee, what is next for you?
That sip of coffee has energized me enough to say Sackboy: A Big Adventure is a great game. I like that game a lot. I never played Mario 3D World, and a lot of people were like, this is just that. And so I played this, and I've recently gone back and played Mario 3D World, and I actually didn't like it as much as I liked Sackboy. Sackboy was really, really fun. I love the costumes. I love the music. The music is so good. Every time we would enter a level, because I only played the game multiplayer, every time we entered a level and it was a stage where there was actual singing, we were like, yes, you know Britney Spears Toxic or Houdini and all that. Like, they're so good. I love this game a lot, and it's weird. I don't think it would be topping very many actual lists, which is why I'm putting it here. I think this is where that game belongs, because I don't foresee it topping very many other lists.
It was going to be my next nomination, because I loved that game as well. I think it's a really great co-op experience, and I think it is. I've been going back to it actually recently because a couple friends and I got in sort of a like time trial competition just by accident.
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot how fun those are to compete in. And they've also been doing a good job of supporting that game post-launch, not with anything massive, but like free DLC costumes have come out every few months of like Celine and Ratchet and Rivet and Ellie and a few more. And then they also have been doing these time trial tournaments where, you know, you can compete. And if you're in the X percentage ranking, you get an extra bonus like costume item. Yeah, they've been really fun. And I think that game is a lot better than people have thought about it as, because I don't think it got the attention it deserves. So I'm there with you. I think my dream life for PlayStation would be to like have platformers back and have like Astros and Sackboy games like alternating every other year or whatever, mm-hmm. to have those in. But yeah, I love it. I totally would be happy with it.
Jada, did you play online or did you play locally multiplayer?
Both. I did both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was the online for you, the net code is a little off? Like you'd see someone like fall down a hole and then they just reappear? And
yeah, it wasn't always perfect. I haven't played it since launch time, so I don't know if it's been improved. It's very possible it did. But yeah, there were definitely a little bit of hiccups. But in local, it ran super well.
Yeah, that was my only problem, is like stuff would weirdly happen. But it's funny because like with a game like that, that just kind of like inspires joy. When stuff like that happens, it's kind of okay, because you're just like, oh, I died because this is dumb, but whatever. We're having a good time. We're laughing. So, yeah, I like the game a lot.
For sure. Jada, any for or against?
I haven't played Sackboy Big Adventure. That's another one that I've been kind of dancing around. But I know that they make solid platformers. I loved all the previous Little Big Planets. Media Molecule was this one done by Media Molecule?
This one's not done by Media
Molecule. This is not Media Molecule.
This is Sumo Digital. They did Little Big Planet 3, though. So yeah, this isn't their first.
There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, but I like Sumo Digital as well. They've created some other excellent games in the past, like LBP3. You know, I'm okay with it being on the list. I think it deserves to be on the best PS5 game list so far. I'm a little surprised to hear that the soundtrack was good for it, though. Like it's always had like a good kind of, you know, music.
That's like the point of this game. Like every level is tuned to the music of that game. So it's like when you do like you mentioned Uptown Funk, right? It's something where it'll get to a certain point of the song and then it'll kind of loop and it'll kind of just play background music because it needs you to get to the next part of the level. So it can start singing again because all of the characters dance and move and do everything in rhythm. So if you're, it's okay to not progress super fast, but it will break up the song because it's so dependent on the song playing while things are happening.
And even not in those musical levels, like the music is still so much a focus of it. Yeah. They brought there's like several different composers on it, including Lena Raine, who did the phenomenal Celeste soundtrack.
And Chicory.
And a few others. And Chicory. Yes. Yeah. So there's a ton of really great musicians in there who are doing really great themes. Some are like based on actual pop songs as well. And doing like really fun riffs on those. It's great for the soundtrack as well. Yeah. I can't recommend it enough.
Nice.
But cool. That is Mark's. I feel like that was almost mine at that point.
That's okay.
So now I'm in a strange place because there's a few that I really want to add, but I don't know what windows might happen. Let me look at what I've completed this year. I'm torn. I do want to add one of the like, you know, PS5 sort of definitive editions. I'm leaning right now, even though this is a very Marvel forward list, I am leaning toward also adding Spider-Man Remastered. I'm torn because it is essentially the PS4 game playing a little better. So,
that one I didn't really have an urge to go back to. Yeah.
But like if someone was picking up a PS5 for the first time and maybe didn't have a PS4, it's like there's no way I wouldn't tell you to get Spider-Man Remastered.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm torn there. I think for now, just because we do have two Marvel games already on the list that I'm very happy with, not that Spider-Man 2018 shouldn't be there. But I am going to say, let's go with Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut.
Nice.
Because I do think the sort of complete package of what Ghost of Tsushima is, running on PS5 with the native PS5 version, adding in Iki Island, adding in the Legends DLC, like this is one of probably the most robust first party releases of recent memory. Like I think it is one of the most expansive things that you can get. And I think all of those aspects are really great. Like the campaign and the open world are really beautiful and obviously a joy to explore. It looks so good in the PS5 native version. even if it's not, you know, it's still the PS4 version that they've uptuned. It wasn't natively built for PS5, but originally developed for PS5, but it's still so beautiful with what they've done and the tweaks they have made. And then you throw in Legends, which is phenomenal. And then you throw in the Iki Island DLC, which is more of what you enjoyed of the base game, but I think is really great additions in that regard. And I think just like, man, if I were to tell you to get an open world game on PlayStation 5, I would tell you that game probably. So I'm going to say Ghost. I know yesterday I said no director's cuts and now I'm putting a director's cut on the list, but yeah, I'm going to put that one there.
That's why you changed the rules.
Exactly.
At the start. So yeah, you could put Ghosts on there.
That's why I'm wearing my Ghost shirt. But anyway, let's move on from there. Jada, what have you got next? Who have you got there? Oh, it's the Fox. For anyone who's listening to the audio version, Jada has the Fox plush. This is not an ad. From Fangame. It's so good.
But yeah.
It's so good. What's your next game?
You know what? It's tough because Ghost was going to be my next one. Seems like we're just all going in a line.
We're getting to that point.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about Sackboy and co-op and stuff. And, you know, the co-op one that really took me just for a good ride was It Takes Two. That game was fantastic.
Getting the veto card ready.
I was not expecting to, and it's fine. I have like three games that are like veto for Mark, and so.
No! My next game, I was gonna add. I was like, I don't know if I want to add this because Jada will probably veto it.
I love It Takes Two. The story is done so well. I kind of like brushed over it early in the year just because I don't know. It didn't seem like my vibe. But the characters are done so well. It's probably one of the most accurate and well-designed platformers from a controls perspective, to where I never felt like I missed a jump because of a wonky system. I missed the jump because I mistimed my air dash or I hit one of the bounce pads weird. Like it was totally on me. So like I really loved it. The co-op story, it's great. I played it with my partner Yusuf as well. We sat down and we knocked it out in one sitting. It was like 10 hours straight. just marathoned it because we had such a good time. And we were like, we don't want to leave the last like one or two levels to tomorrow. Let's just finish it. but it was so good. There's a bunch of like little mini games that pop out throughout the world that you can find as like kind of like hidden side things. And there's like all types of really cool mini games. Like we got to play like chess. We got to play like musical chairs. There was like a firing range. There was the very first one is like whack-a-mole where one player is the mole and the other person has really the hammer.
Fun. Yeah.
And it's just a lot of really cool stuff. And we just kept finding ourselves competing throughout the entire game in these like mini games. I think he ended up like winning by like two games at the end, but we didn't find but we missed a couple, so we have to go back through and find the other one so I can, you know, secure that victory. But I really liked It Takes Two, and it surprised me this year. So I think it's a great, you know, if you're looking for that co-op experience, so, you know, maybe for kids, you know, parents buy it looking for a great game for their kids or just looking for something to play with your partner at home. It Takes Two is a great, like, single console experience that you don't get out of a lot of next-gen titles.
A fair argument. Mark and I are both, I guess, considering the veto card.
I
don't want to be the villain here. So I think
the story's kind of garbo.
Yeah. So my thing is, in terms of what you were saying, Jada, I couldn't agree more. I think it is one of the like best probably tuned platformers I've played in some time, and I think the like mechanically and the ingenuity of all that and how it keeps throwing those new ideas at you and those mini games, like it's all so fun. I got maybe four-ish levels in with my girlfriend, but we both and granted, you know, our combined hate of it I think did color it, but like I so genuinely despise the story.
our hatred has combined.
Like, it's I think the book is one of the worst characters in a video game I've seen.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, every time that book shows up, Amanda's just like, oh god.
I wish that book didn't exist because I just think he is a racist caricature with nothing good to say who also wherever the story goes, and I don't know where it goes in terms of its message about divorce and love and relationships and all that. So like, I can't say where it goes, but at least like the opening hours I found to be so like pedantic in terms of like the characters very obviously probably should not be in a relationship together. And this, you're just getting yelled at by this book that you need to be together because your child has wished magic on you. And yep. like, nothing about the character's behavior in the first couple levels like endeared me to them.
Because I've heard conflicting things. You said that one of our coworkers says that the ending is like bad, right?
Yes, but I've also heard people say the ending is great.
And then I talked to another one of our coworkers, and he says it completely wraps up at the end and like seals it all together and is like really good. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's the only reason I'm withholding my veto, is because like I've genuinely heard so many different things. I don't know if I'm qualified to veto.
It is definitely one of those kind of very divisive things, and you kind of like your own, I think your own perspective on relationships and divorce and kids kind of will play into that. I haven't dealt with most of the themes, divorce or kids, other than, you know,
Jade is like, I've been divorced three times, guys. So you know, I'm an expert.
I got six exes. I will say it does wrap it up pretty darn well. I think the ending is a little middling to in my opinion. But the banter between the two characters gets so much better as you progress. Mm-hmm. And as you see them actually, their character, like you see the character development and see them grow as time goes through. I feel like it takes a little too long to get there. So okay. I'm okay with you guys vetoing it, but it's one of the ones I did want to put on there purely for that excellent platformer with great co-op type experience, you know, minus the story. But I honestly would have played that game regardless of the story.
I think my problem, Jada, correct me if I'm wrong, but that there's a part, Dornbush, you're probably not this far. There's a part where you ride like this wispy dragon type of thing, right? You remember that part, Jada?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To me, this is when I knew I was like done. This is supposed to be one of these like coming to their falling back in love moments, and it just like completely flopped for me. And that's where I was like, oh, okay, I understand what they were trying to do at this part, and it did not win me over. And that's when I was like, I don't think I care about this anymore. Was literally, I think I got right after that part and I was like, I'm done. I don't care.
I think, minus the book, I think their best writing for it was with the banter between those characters. I think that moment was a little flat. So I don't think you're wrong in that. It definitely comes together. I think it really came together for me when you get to like the ice types levels, which are towards the end. I also wanted to drop kick the book every chance I got. So I'm with you guys on hating that book. I was just like, let me just drop kick him off this ledge. It'd be so quick and easy.
Yeah. If no spoilers, of course, but if he's not the final boss, I'm going to be very upset. So that I can beat him up. I'm gonna withhold my veto for now, just because I do not feel like I have enough knowledge.
Yeah, I'll wait.
Fair enough. Right. So, Mark, what is your final pick if we're sticking to 15? Which, for time's sake,
sure.
For now,
there's a lot. There's a lot on here still. There's a lot. There's a lot to go through.
For reference, we haven't seen Deathloop make an appearance.
No, I don't care about that. That's fine. All right. I was kind of hoping we'd get through this whole list without it making an appearance. So,
hey, it makes an appearance in every state of play. Of course, it's going to make an appearance in this discussion.
It's got to have some sort of trailer during this episode of Beyond. Nah, I don't care if it's on the list. I just don't like it as much as other people. Right. I am going to go with a game that probably neither of you have played, and it's a very indie game. I'm going to go with Maquette. Which is Red. Okay. I wasn't sure.
Come on.
Wasn't sure. Maquette is, it's kind of like Superliminal in a way where perspective is everything. You go to this like building where you can, you drop something in this like square, and then you can go to a larger version of it. So then that thing is either very small or either very big. And it's all about looking at how, you know, to do things. It's like you pick something up and you're like, I need this rock to be bigger, right? And or I need this rock to be smaller, but now I can go to the bigger version of the building and drop it in this little like hole or something like that. So I thought the puzzles were pretty good. Sometimes they were a little, I had to look one or two of them up, and I remember being like, there's no way in the world I would have figured that out. And I don't super love that. Like, the thing that makes Portal so great is every puzzle you can figure out and you have that aha moment where in Maquette, I think there was like one or two times where I was like, I would have never figured that out. So that's kind of a bummer. But I thought the story was very good. I think it's a little, I think it's this weird juxtaposition from It Takes Two, where it's two people that met, fell in love, moved in together, and then decided this isn't for us. They drifted apart, and that happens, right? And so it's kind of one of those things where I think it's a story you don't see super often. I thought Bryce Dallas Howard was great as the main character. I think she's she voiced her very well, and I thought the music was very good. Also, the game has a very fun platinum because the platinum kind of revolves around then speed running every level.
Yeah, I still need to get that.
Yeah. And so once you figure out how to do it, it's just about doing it as fast as you can. And that still is actually very hard sometimes because the game, it's pretty tight. But I thought it was a very enjoyable platinum to get. And I just really, really liked the game. It was a free game that honestly, from the surface, I don't think would have interested me at all. The game doesn't have like super interesting key art or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I tried it out and I was like, wow, I actually very, very much like this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't played the full version. I got to play like a demo of it back at, I think, PAX, the last PAX of like 2019. And I love the puzzle solving element of it. I thought it was a really cool idea. I just haven't gotten a chance to give it a full run, but I'm totally okay with that one.
I enjoyed it. It's probably wouldn't be near a top of a list for me, but I agree with everything you said of it in terms of like, I think the story is well done. It's not really one you see often in games in this way. I think some of the puzzles are really clever. It did feel like the first pass at an idea that like I would love to see what the creator does with the second version that they have this under their belt, but I am totally okay with it for now.
What's funny about the list now that I'm looking at it is we all started with our favorites, and so this list in order, except for there's a few I would probably change.
Me too.
In order, the list is mostly how I would order it, and Maquette being on the bottom is kind of like that's natural for me, you know.
I don't think you're wrong. We're actually pretty close, I think, to ordering, to be honest, you know, with some wiggle room in there. But I'm okay with it being there for now. I think the final one that I will add to this list, I really would like to add Bugsnax, but I know Mark is going to veto it the second I say it. I just don't even want to go through it. It's not
Bloodborne out there. It's not a PS5 game. That's what we gave him too much power. He made it a PS5 game.
All of the games now have been changed to Bloodborne. It's crazy how that happens. For the final game, I think for this list, there's a lot I could add, but I think I'm going to go with another early release from earlier this year, Hitman 3. In terms of the like murder puzzle box games, if you want to vaguely put Hitman 3 and Deathloop in the same vein, Hitman 3 is more my speed, maybe not stylistically, but in terms of the gameplay, the third person perspective, like very focused puzzle layout of going through these levels and figuring things out and seeing the sort of chain reactions of things. I really loved both the set of levels that are created in Hitman 3 and then the ability to bring in Hitman 1 and 2 levels in there to only make it a bigger package, especially if you've never played those games, which I hadn't.
It legit is like the definitive version of that like entire trilogy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all there.
and they brought things up and they run a little bit better on PS5 and everything. I just think, you know, it is such a well-crafted experience and so brilliant in its design. And, you know, obviously I think the almost, why can't I think of the movie that everyone loves, the murder mystery with Daniel Craig. Why am I blanking?
Knives Out.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say Get Out and I'm like, nope, different movie.
also a great movie.
But not turned into a video game yet. But yeah, the Knives Out-esque murder mystery level is phenomenal and definitely my highlight. But I think the other ones are fantastic too. And just like both the predetermined paths that you can take and the things the game wants you to be able to do, but also just the sheer amount of chaos that you can pull off while still completing objectives, I think is so fun, so wacky. Like, it's also one of the funniest games I've played just because of what they allow you to do in those levels. It's so silly, but so cleverly so. I love it. I think it would be on this list, probably higher for me than 15, but I definitely think Hitman 3 should be on here.
100% agree. Hitman was probably one of my, it was one of my backups if for something getting vetoed. So I'm glad I don't have to put that back up now. I think it's great just because, you know, Mark was talking about Portal and how you can kind of solve things your own way and you get the aha moment. And Hitman.
Do you mean Maquette?
You know, Maquette, sorry.
No,
but okay. I'm saying, yeah.
Well, I did say that about that Portal.
True.
He said that about Portal, but while making that reference about Maquette. And I feel like Hitman 3. Kind of gives you that ability too, to kind of have those aha moments of figuring out like, oh, hey, I can, you know, swap this outfit and I can cause this chaos over here and then sneak through this door. Or there's just so many different ways you can go about completing objectives. And I think it was great for that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that Deathloop is not on this list. That's hilarious. People are going to hate us, but
they're
going to
be very
care.
Upset. Yeah. I still care. Haven't finished it, so don't get mad at me.
I really liked Deathloop. I don't know if I would.
Well, you have the power to veto something and put it on there if you want.
Yeah.
I do. I don't know though. Like, the ending really killed it for me. Like,
wait, so is that what the rule is? Or if we veto something, do we get to then replace it with another pick?
Whoever's game is vetoed gets to pick it.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could veto one of my own.
You could.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, replace it. but no, I liked Deathloop the first 95% of it. It's just really the tail end. It just kind of like, I feel like it just ran out of steam. And that was a real downer for me. And like, that's, it kind of kept it off like Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man Miles Morales. These games were all amazing games that like kept the momentum from start to finish. But Deathloop like made it 2/3 of the way. And it was just like, I'm sorry, I can't.
I can see all the comments for it now and I can't wait. But like, I don't know. I started this game 3 or 4 times and never made it past the first few hours. And everybody says that there's a part where the game just kind of opens up and that's when it gets really good. And I would just like to declare the Final Fantasy 13 rule that I should not have to play a game for any amount of hours for it to then get good. If I'm not enjoying it in the first few hours and I don't feel compelled, I'm not going to push through 4, 5, 6 hours of a game for it to then get good. And like, but it doesn't do start about, good for me. So
how do you feel about Final Fantasy VII? I feel like Final Fantasy VII started okay, but it definitely middles out until you're able to leave Midgar. And then it opens up and there's a lot of time, a lot of things you have to do inside. Like, I love VII, but I also really enjoyed 13 because I kind of equated to the very same thing. 7 is very much on tracks until you leave Midgar, and 13 is the exact same way. The only difference
except for in 13, that happens 65 hours in. Midgar is only like 8 or 9 hours.
Mark, 13 did take a little bit longer than I would have liked, but it wasn't that long. You're exaggerating. It was probably around 15 hours or so.
No way.
It's like the end of the game. I blew through it.
I mean,
that opening part
to just help
me
to help settle it all, Mark.
Yeah,
is Final Fantasy 13 though a sequel to Final Fantasy 7? I think is the big question.
No, because 13 has its own sequels. 13-2 exactly. And Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy 13. Internet.
Yep. Well, before it sounds like no one's going to use their veto.
Oh, I'm going to veto Maquette. I'm going to veto Maquette.
Damn. Okay.
I feel like it's a great game, but I don't feel like it would be a definitive game I would recommend.
It's definitely on the Mark Medina list.
Yeah, that's right. It's not something I would recommend to anybody playing, picking up a PS5 this holiday. Like, hey, you got to play Maquette.
Okay.
That would not be like any of the first games I would recommend.
Because it's my game. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, we're going to start a chain reaction here. Yeah, because it's your game, you're going to get to pick.
I then get to replace it. Okay.
But before we do that, I'm going to just say, let's run through all of our vetoes before we pick any more games.
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
So are you going to veto? The gloves are off now. There's been a veto hold. So you can veto whatever you want.
I have my own personal list here, and uh-huh. and the problem is I'm not seeing anything on here that I like. I want to make a case for like Hades, but I played Hades on PC a year or two before it came to PS5, and yeah. so it's really hard for me to be like, it's my favorite PS5 game. I played on PS5 for like 10 minutes and I was like, cool. Yeah. This yeah. is definitely Hades on PS5. So it's really struggling. Hard for me to like,
I'm struggling there too. Yeah. Cause Hades is one of my favorite games of all time, but it like yeah. the PS5 version necessarily is not like some incredible addition to the game.
No. Yeah. Like, and it didn't get remat. Like it released on PS5. It is legit.
But it's PS5 essentially game. The same game,
but yeah. that's, it's not, yep. I don't associate that game with, most people associate that game with either PC or Switch. And so it's hard for me to be like, it's a fantastic PS5 game. It is, but not one that I, yeah, it's really tough for me. I have a replacement for Maquette.
Okay, but are you going to veto any?
I don't. I don't.
Maquette is off. Red's trying to do some.
I don't know what Red's doing. Red's
doing some formatting.
He's being a wizard.
Right now on the list, just for people who are listening, we have Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Astro's Playroom, Returnal, Guardians of the Galaxy, Resident Evil Village, Demon's Souls, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Control Ultimate Edition, Death's Door, Far Cry 6, Sackboy A Big Adventure, Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, It Takes Two, Maquette has been vetoed, and Hitman 3 yep. is still on the list.
If I were to veto,
uh-huh.
I would veto either Ghost of Tsushima. Okay. Because I think the PS4 version of that game was completely fine. Mm-hmm. And so I don't feel compelled to be like, it's also the best PS5 game. But okay. I was also switching between Guardians of the Galaxy, because while I like Guardians of the Galaxy, I always wonder if Avengers didn't exist, if Marvel's Avengers didn't exist, would Guardians of the Galaxy get the praise? I'm not saying, Jada, that that's what you're mm-hmm. doing. But I think people are so happy that Guardians isn't Avengers that it gets this boost of like, it's fantastic. And I'm like, is it fantastic? Or is it just not Marvel's Avengers?
I enjoyed Avengers. I have probably 300 hours into Avengers. That was all plugged in like the first like 2 months of playing, because I was just mm-hmm. very addicted to their like the grind and getting ready, because I was expecting raids and other stuff to come sooner, and it just never did, so it trailed off.
God, Spider-Man came out, what a thud, like no one cares.
I actually booted it up over the weekend on PS5. It runs so much better on PS5.
It does. Yeah
but I didn't boot it up since Spider-Man dropped. I finished the Hawkeye DLC, and then I'm like halfway through the Black Panther DLC, and I'll try out Spider-Man eventually, but I really
I think I'll abstain. This is a great list, and I would hate to lose any of them. So I think I'll abstain.
Well, don't forget, Red has two vetoes. So
it might happen.
But hey, if the gloves are off, I'm going to do it then. Forget what I said earlier. I'm vetoing It Takes Two.
I hate
the book.
Wait, I totally forgot.
I can't.
I would have totally vetoed that.
I thought that one was gonna get through. I was like, am I gonna sneak It Takes Two in there? Is it gonna sneak in?
I was so fixated on Ghost and Guardians, I would have totally done.
Phenomenal gameplay, but yeah, I can't live with the book on the list. I'm sorry, Jada. Very sorry. Mark, are you gonna use a veto? Or
are you gonna
Because while you are Red in the background, I don't know if you can pipe your audio in whatsoever, but if you would like to veto anything, Red, and please don't do anything to make everyone hate us, but if you'd like to veto anything, please feel free to...
Mouse is above Ratchet and Clank. What are you doing?
He's good. Okay,
oh, he Red says he's good.
He's not going to veto.
Whew. All right. No,
yeah, I don't think I'm going to veto, because I think the audience will come after me if I try to veto any of these.
Gotcha. In that case, Jada and Mark.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this.
One
Dornbush.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Dornbush. Let me ask you this really quick.
Okay, go ahead. Hit me.
If a young boy like me mm-hmm. were to veto a game like Ghost of Tsushima, uh-huh. would you have a better replacement?
Death Stranding, Director Scott. I have a replacement.
Then send it straight to hell.
I think I have a replacement that I don't think would cause ire, but
okay.
Yeah.
So then here's the deal. I have the platinum trophy for Ghost of Tsushima. I have been pretty vocal about the fact that I do not like that game as much as other people do. I love the gameplay. I think every quest is a follow quest, and it made it where when I was trying to get the platinum trophy, it was just driving me crazy.
All good.
And so I think it's gorgeous. I think the gameplay's fun. I think the quests are meh. So sure, let's veto Ghost of Tsushima.
All right, Ghost is getting
Red. He says, "Does Yakuza Like a Dragon Yakuza count for 2021?" Yes. Whatever. We're not doing 2021. We're just doing PS5 games. So, yeah, so Like a Dragon would count. Half of these. A lot of these games are not 2021 games.
Yeah.
But yeah, Yakuza dropped on PS5 this year. So
it did.
That would definitely. So that would definitely count. So
we might get a veto from Red. But yep,
sounds like he might be vetoing something.
Ghost is vetoed then. So if you want to strike through that one as well.
Get rid of that bad boy.
12. That one will be stricken from the record then. So all three of us have to come up then with one final.
Easy.
And Red, if you want to consider vetoing anything, now would be the time to do so, or before we add any additions, I think, just to be fair.
Yep.
At this
point. Red, are you sticking with your I'm good?
For everyone
looking,
listening,
mousing.
He's hovering his mouse everywhere. He's
highlighting control, Ultimate Edition.
He's doing it very slowly, though.
He's clicking a thing.
He's going.
He's looking for the strike.
Control is
vetoed.
Oh, all right. That hurts. That hurts.
Red, we are best friends now.
That hurts, man.
Control is vetoed. So we've got to add four more games. We're also running low on time, so we should.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I'm happy to just kind of blast through because now I have two.
We'll rank this list another time. Maybe next week as a follow up. But yeah.
No, it's fine.
Mark, you've got to add now two games.
Easy. No problem. Okay. Right, so for Control, if I'm getting rid of like a director's cut, whatever, I'm going to replace it with a director's cut. Sorry, Red. Okay. So we're going to throw Death Stranding director's cut there because I played so much of that game this year and I really, really like it a lot. So I liked it when it first came out and I think the PS5 version is fantastic. So Death Stranding director's cut takes place of Control. Blame Red. He is, I forget what his Twitter name is, like Arch Nemesis. You can yell at him there. And then for Maquette, Jada, you brought this on yourself. So if I have to replace Maquette, I'm going to replace it with Knockout City. Because I love Knockout City. And I think it's one of the most fun multiplayer games I've played in a long time. I think it's super original. I think it's very fun. I've played it with Jada. And I'm pretty sure we had a pretty fun night together. But We did.
I love that these have just become personal.
But yeah, I love Knockout City, and if you're taking Maquette from me, then you get Knockout City. Have fun with that.
Sounds good. Nice. Well, you know, Jada? I've had my replacement queued up and just ready to go. If we're vetoing It Takes Two, I'm putting Bugsnax on.
Yes.
No.
Bugsnax is going on the list.
No!
Yes. I love the Pokemon Snap esque.
Dornbush, what have you done?
That was going to be mine.
You guys are messaging each other.
I turned my entire town turned into people made out of birthday cake. It was amazing. I did it on my birthday last year. It was like a great happy birthday to me from Bugsnax. I liked Bugsnax. Bugsnax was fun. So
I can't believe what we've done.
I love it. I love this.
Damn it.
Oh man. Okay.
That was good. That was a good one.
Revenge is a dish best served.
That's what I get for putting Knockout City on there.
Bugsnax was going to be mine. So
these are just personal attacks now.
Pretty much.
You're just constantly going at it.
Yeah.
Testing each other. Berets.
You could always take Red's choice.
Red, you do have another veto, but it can't be one of the new additions.
Yeah, man.
I think is the fair way to do it.
Be cool. He says no.
You wanted to get rid of Bugsnax.
Yeah, he was gonna have my back there.
I'm pulling that mostly because I don't want Bugsnax on the list. I am gonna go with, Deathloop is the obvious answer to further annoy Mark.
Oh, gosh.
What? But I'm trying to think if there's like another indie I want to highlight as well.
Did you really like Deathloop that much?
I really enjoyed it and then just fell off and haven't gone back. I really did really.
Sounds like you loved it. Every game I love, I play some of and then never play again.
I mean, that's most games for me these days.
How'd you feel about Kena?
It would be in the top 25 Kena. For me. I really enjoyed it. I do think it was like a very great game that I would recommend anyone who's getting a PS5 get this fall. But I do think it's also a like over any of the games that are currently on this list. Or the ones that I'm thinking of, I don't know if I would say. Like, I would probably say get Chicory before that, but I don't think Chicory is, like, a PS5-defining game, necessarily.
I always go off games that, like, stuck with me, and honestly, Kena came out, and I was like, cool, played it a little bit. Don't care to play it anymore.
For sake of time, Jonathan, if you're having trouble finding one, I will relinquish Bugsnax to you. So you can draw the ire of Mark, and I will submit Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Because I was going to say Deathloop.
So
Deathloop.
I'll let you decide.
Well, hold on. Red, are you vetoing Far Cry 6? I saw you. I saw him messing around.
He's doing a lot of highlighting.
I wasn't sure. He was highlighting some stuff.
He's vetoing Far Cry 6. So you know what?
So there you go, Jada.
There's Final Fantasy 14. Put it in it.
All right. Final Fantasy.
So we're removing Far Cry 6 in favor of Final Fantasy 14, and Ghost of Tsushima is being replaced by Deathloop.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So currently this is an unordered list. We have Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Astro's Playroom, Returnal, Guardians of the Galaxy, Resident Evil Village, Demon's Souls, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Death Stranding Director's Cut, Death's Door, Final Fantasy 14, Sackboy A Big Adventure, Deathloop, three deaths on the board, Bugsnax, Knockout City, and Hitman 3. This is an unordered list. Red says, FYI, you guys haven't talked about Persona 5. Persona 5 doesn't have a native PS5.
I don't think it ever came to PS5.
I was thinking about this. The Final Fantasy 7 Intergrade Remix is one of the ones that I wanted to bring up, but I just haven't gone back into it to play it yet.
Yeah.
So I played the first 30 minutes of it, and I was like, I really want to play Final Fantasy 7 again before I play Intergrade, and I just never got around to it.
Yuffie is a phenomenal addition. Like, her combat is
legitimately awesome.
Great. I think the DLC itself is good. Its mini game is weirdly my favorite part. It's basically Clash Royale, but I love it. That feels like that would have been my next one, to be honest. But
man, I really liked the list better before we got Vito crazy.
That's the point of it.
What have we done?
So this is the Podcast Beyond unofficial best PS5 games so far list, unordered, not in order. Again, just one more time before we wrap up, because we are running late. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Astro's Playroom, Returnal, Guardians of the Galaxy, Resident Evil Village, Demon's Souls, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Death Stranding Director's Cut, Death's Door, Final Fantasy 14, Sackboy A Big Adventure, Deathloop, Bugsnax, Knockout City, and Hitman 3. And there you have it. With no problems whatsoever, we've come up with our favorite 15 PlayStation 5 games.
I just like
that. You're not going to see any hate on the internet for this
list. I just like that Knockout City's on there, but I hate that Bugsnax is on there. So.
Please leave all of your totally 100% agreement comments on some version of this video. I'm sure they will only be unanimous praise for what we've done. Thank you, Red, for dealing with the doc as we went on.
Godfall.
Speaking of Godfall, just very quickly before we wrap up, I should mention PlayStation Plus games for December were announced. Those are going to be Godfall the Challenger Edition, which I believe comes with DLC and things. That's for PS5 and PS4. Lego DC Super Villains for PS4, backward compatible, and Mortal Shell for PS4, backward compatible. I believe it does have a free PS5 upgrade as well in there. Don't forget the three PSVR games from last month are still available if you are a PlayStation Plus subscriber, so go grab those as well. All of these will be available until January 3rd.
I think I saw somebody say something about if you get, I think Final Fantasy had the thing, Final Fantasy VII had the thing where if you got it on PS Plus, you didn't get the PS5 version.
Correct.
And I believe somebody on Twitter said that it was the same thing for Mortal Shell. That is the PS4 version, and you do not get the PS5
good
version
to know.
If
Thank you
get
for
that one. But I don't know that for sure. That's just
no, I appreciate that. Yeah,
Twitter said.
We'll obviously be able to find out next week. It doesn't seem
It's free. So just get it. And if it doesn't work, then whatever.
Then we'll know. It doesn't currently say on the PlayStation blog post. But just for reference, that's happening. I'm very quickly just going to say this. There was a DLC possible tease from Returnal for Housemarque. Yeah. They put up a weird photo on their Twitter over Thanksgiving weekend. No idea what it means. Hopefully we maybe get an announcement at the Game Awards, but if there's any follow-ups on that, we'll cover that in a future week. And then of course, Mark, you have 10 seconds. Sons of the Forest got a release date for next year.
Sons of the Forest, let's go, baby.
There you go.
No, The Forest is great. If you've not played The Forest, get some friends together. It's adult Minecraft. You'll love it. And Sons of the Forest is going to be huge. That is the last game I will ever play once it is released.
Fair enough.
May 20th, my anniversary, my 15th year wedding anniversary is May 19th, 2022. This game comes out May 20th. I'm taking 2 weeks off for my anniversary because me and Amanda, we're just going to play Sons of the Forest. That game's gonna be so good.
Sounds about nice. Right. Yeah, I love it. Very quickly from there, I'm going to wrap us up. I do want to save or give a heads up that we do want to start having some more trophy discussions on the show. So one, look out for some potential trophy tips in future weeks, but also if there's any trophy lists or really fun trophy memories you have, please write into them with beyond@IGN.com, either with some trophy related headline. I don't have a name yet, or with the subject line memory card. And speaking of memory card, I would like to bring those back and start reading some more stories. But the last few that I have to read from, they are wonderful and I very much appreciate people sharing them, but they are very, very long and we just can't read something too long on the show for the sake of the show. So please, if you want to resend those in, for those of you who have sent them a little bit shorter and pared down, or if you have a story to share, please send it in to beyond@IGN.com and we'll read those in future weeks. But that's going to wrap us up because we ran really long in that conversation. But Jada and Mark, thank you so much for figuring this list out that everyone loves and has zero problems with me. Totally in agreement. Everyone's very happy, I can tell.
Great.
You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JM Dornbush. Jada is at Jada_Rena, and Mark is at Mark_Medina. Is that correct, Mark?
That's right.
Cool. I thought that's where the underscore went. And thank you, of course, to both of you for joining me for this week's episode. Thank you to Red, our producer, for making the show happen and causing more chaos right at the end there. And thank you to everyone out there for listening and watching. We hope you're safe and we hope you're well. And as always, beyond.
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 Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.